baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
So I am about to attempt something that I have not done in almost 2 years, which is full on get on the road and tour. I head to Winnipeg in a couple hours here. I've got a show for an animal shelter there. Well, I mean, for people, but right. In support of an animal shelter, right? That was a question my wife asked me. She's like, you're playing for people. I'm like, yeah, this isn't a reverse dog show. Like, yes, I'm playing for people. And then I head to Halifax and I play the Yuck Yucks. I headline out there for the Yuck Yucks. And then there's the Comedy Cove Comedy Club. And then I'm in PEI for some shows.
Nice.
So fingers crossed here, my man. I don't know. We did the Calgary Comedy Festival here at Craft Island last week, and that was a lot of fun. And
that was great.
Now I'm in kind of comedy mode, but
nice.
Oh boy, I feel like at every moment things could come crumbling down, so fingers crossed. But we are starting a little earlier here, which is good news for all of the Blue Jays fans, hoping to get some content in before the game tonight. Good morning. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by Adam Mack. This is the walk-off. Adam has joined the mustache crew. You do not.
We're not going to talk about it.
You can be in the mustache pact, but you do not talk about it.
Correct.
If Adam Simber has taught us anything, it's that the word is mum when it comes to the mustache pact.
Absolutely.
Lots to talk about here. We are going to get into, because everyone has a take on it, so we'll give our take on the Ryan Borucki, Kevin Kiermaier, Kevin Cash, and Charlie Montoyo fiasco from the last game in the Rays series. Rough loss last night to the Minnesota Twins, but to be expected a little bit. We'll dive into that. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. left the game yesterday with an injury. We've got an update on that. Hopefully things are all right, and then we will start to break down the standings as we are only 9 to 10 games from the end of the season, depending on the team here. So let's get into it. We did want to quickly, briefly touch on the fact that we have separated the podcast from the guests. So any guests that we have now, we are going to put directly out onto YouTube and to any platform where you're catching the podcast, but they are not going to be a combined unit anymore. That makes it easier for you to, you know, listen to it in chunks so that it's not a big 2.5 hour thing to digest. All guests, of course, are brought to you by yourrate.ca. Darren Brown, the mortgage broker, sure to help you out, get you into that mortgage you're after, whether it is a new mortgage or you're just looking to redo your current one, yourrate.ca. So we do have zero guests that have joined us this week. Next week looks like it's going to be guest heavy, so we should be right back into the thick of things, obviously with the season wrapping up in the minor league system and just in general here. Hopefully we do get a bump in guests. It's been a little tough to talk to people with the playoff crunch
middle
coming
of the
in.
Playoff race, yeah. Even at the minor league level, they are, I think Buffalo's getting ready for playoff. So
Buffalo's in the playoffs right now, which I do wonder if that's why we haven't seen Biggio and Espinal up yet. Both of them were playing for them yesterday. I think both of those are very close. Both of those guys very close to rejoining this Toronto Blue Jays team. So here's where we're at. 9 games left. The Toronto Blue Jays have 3 remaining against the Twins. Massive, biggest series of the year against the Yankees. And then to end things off, the Baltimore Orioles. Jays 1 game out of that final playoff spot. Yesterday's loss, tough. I saw it coming. I don't know how you felt. I feel like with all the emotions going up over the fight and the did Borucki throw at him, Kevin Kiermaier stole the card, all this stuff. I think there was a lot of emotion, young core. It just seemed like a letdown game waiting to happen, and that's kind of exactly what it was. The bats just couldn't get going.
Yeah, we kind of saw this 2 weeks ago against Baltimore after sweeping the A's and sweeping the Yankees, and then we went into Baltimore and lost 6-3.
Exactly.
So,
and you're like, where are those bats? And that was exactly what last night's game was like.
So, I mean, we came back and won that series 3-1, so hopefully we could do the same against the Twins. Hopefully we can make it a little less exciting than that series against Baltimore. I know most of us
were don't need that sort of stress in our life. Yeah, absolutely. So, good pitching matchup for the rest of this series. It's Manoah Ray and Berríos, I should say, that are taking the mound for the Jays to wrap things up against the Twins. They really do need to take the last three here. I mean, that is the dream. When they had 10 games left, you kind of looked at it and were like, okay, if they take 7 of these 10, that should be enough to guarantee a wild card spot. The Red Sox and the Yankees are playing each other this weekend. Big 3-game series there where the Jays can really make up some ground, because no matter what happens in that series, they are gaining on somebody if they win. Now, obviously, we're kind of at the point right now, as they're 2.5 games back of the Red Sox. Maybe it's just best if they take that second wild card spot, the Yankees get swept, and the Jays look after business here.
Yep.
It would be nice to get that first wild card spot. But with 9 games left, it's starting to look...
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers, so...
And that's exactly what this team is. Just a bunch of beggars.
Just a bunch of beggars. It does look as though the Blue Jays are potentially going with a 4-man rotation for the rest of the way.
Of course, Ryu is on the IL. He is eligible to come off of the injured list as of today. No word as to how that's going to play out. They may try and stick Ryu in there for a game in Baltimore. He might be out for the season. He may be out for the season even if he's feeling healthy to come back. You know, if he doesn't get a start in before the end of the season, I can't see them plugging him into the playoffs and hoping that he finds his stuff.
I sure would.
He hasn't had
excited
it.
About that.
No one would.
Different story if he's coming back from injury after, you know, 3 dominant performances, but...
Exactly.
I don't think any Jays fan is feeling too confident when Ryu is on the mound lately.
Mm-hmm.
So, currently our rotation sits as Berríos, Ray, Manoah, Mats. Wash,
and I'm
rinse,
okay with
repeat.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, and as it lines up right now, that puts... Ray in line for the wild card start.
Steven Matz, even with last night's loss, still is 2nd in the American League for wins.
Wow.
He has been solid all year. He's had some rough starts at times, but for the most part, he's come out the other end and has given this team a chance to win.
And he hasn't really put together too many bad starts in a row.
No.
You know, he hasn't gone through a month where we're really questioning anything about him, you know? He'll have a bad outing and then get right back into a good solid one. So
even last night, it wasn't like he blew up. Yeah, he didn't have his stuff and he did give up a couple runs. But it wasn't Steven Matz that lost this game. I mean, listen, Julian Merriweather came in and he gave up that long ball. Made the game a little bit more out of reach. Merriweather, he is not where he was at in April. Let's just put it that way. Okay, his velocity's down a little bit. He's touching 97, 98. We haven't really seen that 99, 100 quite yet. I mean, don't get me wrong. 97, 98 is going to get the job done if he is locating his secondary pitches, which he has not been. He's been missing his spots a little bit when it comes to that changeup. He's been missing his spots a little bit when it comes to that slider. His fastball is still there. However, if you can all of a sudden sit on a 97 fastball instead of wondering, oh my goodness, is he going to throw his 79-mile-an-hour changeup and hit it for a strike? You're definitely able to, as a hitter, cue in on that a little bit more, right?
Yeah. How do you feel? Okay. How do you honestly feel about this team and our wild card chances? We have 9 games left. Probably need 7 wins. 6 for sure.
I'll be honest, man. I think that this is completely in the Blue Jays' hands.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees play the Red Sox 3 times. and then they play us three times, and then they play the Rays three times. Like, they do not have an easy schedule. And do the Toronto Blue Jays play great in high-pressure situations against crap teams? They have not technically been the best this year. However, three against the Twins and three against the Orioles with... I just feel like if the Jays can go 3-3 in the six against the Twins and Orioles and win the series against the Yankees, that should be enough.
You think 5-4 is going to be enough?
I do.
Interesting. So right now, our magic number is 11.
Yeah.
So 11 combined wins and losses between us and the Yankees. So you figure the Yankees have 6 losses on their schedule. So if 2 are coming from us, that means 2 are coming from the Red Sox and 2 are coming from the Rays. Yeah, okay. I sure don't like going
listen,
into the
that
playoffs
is,
5-4
that is,
down
like,
the stretch.
We are
but...
squeaking under the wire. Obviously, man, I would love to see this team take the next 3 against the Twins, go 2-3 against the Orioles, 2-3 against the Yankees, and this not be... I just feel like at the end of this Yankees series, the Jays are still going to need to win some games against Baltimore to get okay. into this thing. I don't think that this is going to be decided in 6 games. I think this is going to come right down to the end. Where are you at on this?
I'm so nervous.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the Yankees could absolutely lose their next 9 games. That is definitely possible with the schedule they've got ahead of us or ahead of them. Mm-hmm. They could also win 8 or 9 of them. I don't know. I'm
listen,
confident
the Yankees,
in this team, but I'm nervous.
The Yankees are doing well. They played well against Texas, which everyone does. They swept the Rangers. Now, that said, the Boston Red Sox are incredibly hot, too. So, 2 very hot teams are facing each other. If the Jays can just look after business on their end here.
Well, yeah, it starts with Minnesota. I mean, we got to take at least 2 of the next 3.
At least. They need to split this series against the Twins.
Our pitchers, I mean, if we're just going to go with this 4-man rotation, Berrio, Ray, Manoah, and Mats, that's a good rotation, man.
It's a good rotation. We'll see what happens. Let's get into the biggest drama that we have seen go on with this Jays team in months anyways. Of course, the final game of that Tampa Bay series took place on Wednesday. Now, the night before, everyone has kind of gone over this a million times, but Kevin Kiermaier slides into home. The little cheat card as to how to pitch the Rays hitters came out of Manoah's back pocket or his wristband or wherever he keeps the thing. Kevin Kiermaier looked like a child in a candy store that just saw a big lollipop all nicely wrapped fall on the floor. Nobody noticed, and he just hesitated for 1 second, and then he grabbed that piece of candy, and he took it back to the dugout. Then the Jays send over their bat boy, to which the Rays just laugh in his face and say, pretty much, no, you're not getting that back. It was a whole hub to do. Then Charlie Montoyo and Kevin Cash have a meeting before that final game, and everything was fine. They worked it all out. Then Baracchi winds up throwing and hitting Kevin Kiermaier right in the back. Obviously, it was intentional, or at least I can't see how it wasn't intentional. So this is how this breaks down. Ryan Baracchi was given a 3-game suspension, which he is appealing. So he is still playing. Charlie Montoyo was given a 1-game suspension. He served that last night. So I've got a take here, and we'll get into this, Adam. I'm sure you've got some things to add to this, too. Listen, mm-hmm. There's lots of fodder here. You know, a lot of people are throwing out their takes and feel like this was great for the Jays. Maybe it bonded them even closer. Right. Takes like, why the heck wasn't Charlie Montoyo more worked up? How is it that Pete Walker had to show all the emotion, all of this, right? I wish to say right now, personally, I do not see Charlie Montoyo as soft. I personally think There's no way that he didn't call for Kevin Kiermaier to be hit. I think Montoya was behind this all along. And here, so before we get into this, I do wish to obviously state this is all speculation. I know nothing. None of us know anything about this. The only ones who truly know what went down is Ryan Barucki, Pete Walker, and Charlie Montoya. But I really do think that Charlie was a little bit peeved with Kevin Cash and the way that this all was handled, because he was dismissed very quickly. Kevin Cash met with him, all smiles, and I mean, of course, the optics are the press got in there and they're taking pictures, and Kevin and Charlie are laughing and having a good old time, and everyone's like, how could Charlie do this to this team? That's the enemy, right?
They were as friendly as Vlad and Josh Donaldson swapping jerseys there.
Exactly. Exactly. And that rubbed some of the fan base the wrong way, but I really do think that it rubbed Charlie the wrong way, the way that this was all handled, because the truth is, when it comes to analytics, the Tampa Bay Rays are the thirstiest bitches in the MLB, right? Like, yeah. Let's be honest, man. If the shoe was on the other foot and this played out exactly the same way and Bo Bichette slid into home and stole the card for the Tampa Bay Rays, all hell would have broken loose.
It's true.
I think that the Jays actually handled it very professionally in comparison to how it would have gone down with the Rays. I think that when Charlie took this to Cash's attention, he was like, okay, Charlie, almost little brothered him a little, right? Gave him a noogie. It's going to be okay, Charlie. Don't worry about it, buddy. I just feel like at the end of that game, there was an opportunity to send a message to the Tampa Bay Rays of, we're not your little brother anymore. You better start taking us seriously. This was a big deal. Live by the sword, die by the sword. Okay? Because I truly do think Kevin Kiermaier knew 100% what he was doing. You could see it in his face by that 1 second hesitation where he's like, ooh. And then he's like, whoop.
No, that's exactly right.
And you know what? I know that there was some backlash from a lot of MLB analysts who felt like this was the wrong way for Toronto to go about handling this. I think this was more a message to Kevin Cash, in all honesty, from Charlie Montoya. Mm-hmm. We're buds. We're friends. It's all agua under the bridge. But stop screwing with us. You know, like it was kind of like we're good, but we're not that good. Yeah. We're not going to let you walk over this. I don't know how you felt about it, and I could be, again, maybe Charlie didn't know. Maybe this was Barucki going rogue. Even when Pete Walker came out all freaked out, I felt like it was a little bit of a act. You know, like, Pete was so mad about the strike zone all series long because the umpiring in that Rays series was brutal. I mean, the analytics even show that in two of the three games, the calls favored the Rays by as much as two runs, yeah, which is wild.
Well, I just want to say I loved every inch of it on both sides. I love what Kiermaier did. Like, yeah, obviously, as a Jays fan, I hated it. But
no, but I loved it too, man. Like, yeah.
Absolutely. If it was Bichette doing it, I'd be so thrilled. I'd be so impressed. I'd say, yeah, take your lumps, but do it again next time. Mm-hmm. Right, so I can't fault any player in the league for having something fall into their lap and not using it. I know I've heard a lot of hot takes on the internet and on various sports radio shows comparing this to the likes of the trash cans and the filming the sign stealing, and it is,
no,
in my opinion, nowhere near that. Maybe it's just as helpful, but from like a morality and cleanliness of the game, I think that's not even close to comparable. I don't know. I was also raised in terms of sports with an attitude of, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. So maybe that's not the best attitude for Little League, but yeah, I don't know. In pro athletics, I think you've got to get you've got to push the limits of the law, right? And I kind of feel like that is, for all of society, kind of what needs to happen. You know, you need people at the fringes who are pushing the boundaries,
mm-hmm.
so that society kind of stays on its toes and is like, yeah. Oh, okay, we need to clarify some things, right? I don't know. I always used to grow up hearing these stories of like rules that were created to prevent one particular player. Like there was a goalie in the NHL. I have no idea what the name is. I'm sure someone can look it up and let us know in the comments. But he'd stitched netting between his legs to close his five hole. And then, of course, the next game, the NHL was like, no, there's a new rule against that. Like, you can't do that anymore. Hilarious. But, like, that sort of stuff is...
It's like the Pat Van Dyke rule. They even call it the Van Dyke rule, which is he's the ambidextrous pitcher. He even played for the Jays for that brief season.
Right.
Where there is a rule where you are not allowed to switch arms when pitching to a guy halfway through the at-bat. You can only... You can change it between batters, but you can't do it within the at-bat. And that is literally a rule that was put into place for one dude.
Totally. So, I don't know. I love everything about it. I love the way it was handled. I love that Borucki threw at him.
Love that Borucki hit him. You know, like this wasn't that he didn't throw behind him. He didn't miss his spot. He
put him right
in
the numbers.
Why it was so obvious it was intentional. Like he hit him dead in the center of his numbers.
but also he didn't do anything egregious either. Like if he gets suspended, whatever. Like it's Borucki. It's not we're not losing Robbie Ray Mesa for three games or whatever, right? Like it was the perfect opportunity to do it. We were down 6-2 late in the game.
Yeah.
Threw at his numbers. It wasn't a fastball at the head. Like
nope.
I mean, from our talks with Greg Zahn, I don't think it would have come from Montoyo because I just don't think it would have had to.
Yeah.
Like
maybe you're right.
I think he could have for sure had the support of Montoyo, but I don't think anybody was expecting anything different. Like, I don't know. I think I just love everything about it. I almost bought a Borucki jersey yesterday. Like, if I had the money, I'm sure I would have. I just love everything from top to bottom, how it was handled. I would sure love to see a Blue Jays Rays series. I think that would be more electric than ever. Given the recent history. No, I love everything.
You don't
about
think it.
It
brought this team any further together though, right? Like they're a cohesive unit. It was
I don't think I don't know how much closer together they could have been. Like if this last, 22 out of 25 games win streak hasn't brought them close together, I don't know what will.
No, but, I agree.
I don't know. There's another argument, though, to be made against analytics. You know, you got these guys with their cheat sheets in their pockets all the time. And if it was, the good old days, there's no game plan to even fall out of your pocket, right? Like, you just have to know. So, I don't know. I don't know. Be interesting to see what Manoa does next time he faces old Kiermaier.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Because that was what everyone kind of thought might happen. Of course, Manoa was starting that game. And
right.
He played it by the rules. But that was the thing, right? Is until that game got out of hand, I don't think they were planning on doing it until the opportunity arose. And then they're like, yes, this is happening. Kevin Kiermaier is starting off the inning.
Yeah.
We're down by 6. This is the 8th inning and the last time we faced this team for the year?
No, it was like I said, everything about it was just like textbook old school. You know, like that's just street justice.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll be interested to read the comments after this because I'm really curious how people feel about this and who may have decided to do it. Cuz I know you think that it was probably Borucki taking on it didn't have to be, he just knew that Charlie was like, yes, without it being vocalized. I think that this was something that maybe even before the game, Charlie was like, listen, we're not doing anything, but if the opportunity arises, we're doing something.
So when did your love affair with Charlie Montoyo begin? Because
Well, you
admiring him and his managing prowess at this point. Like, you're giving him a lot of credit here, is what I'm saying, Scott.
I think he's done a good job the last month.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to ask me right now who I'd like the manager to be next year, I still would rather them move on from Montoyo, but I think he's been fine. I liked how he handled this. I know he's getting zero credit for this. There's so many fans out there that are like almost the opposite. How could Charlie not be involved in this? But I just feel like there's no way that at some point, like, this is the boss's call.
And you think he's the boss?
Well, no, but in that scenario, right?
All right, let's move on from that now.
Okay, well, Teoscar Hernandez joined a very elite group of Blue Jays last night, hitting his 30th bomb. So I've got a list here of Blue Jays players who have, in a season, hit 300, have hit 30 home runs, and 100 RBIs. This is the history of the Toronto Blue Jays franchise.
Okay.
George Bell, Sean Green, Carlos Delgado, Vernon Wells, Adam Lind, Jose Bautista. And joining that list this year, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Teoscar Hernandez.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Pretty elite group.
It's wild that we have, what, 7 all-time, and 2 of them are this year?
2 of them are on this team right now from 2021. It is pretty wild.
Be a shame to miss the playoffs, man.
Yeah.
But, again, I mean, we kind of talked about this last week, I think. That's part of the learning process for this team, is to realize, like, we can't afford to just write off a game where we're down 5-4 in the sixth. Like, we just have to find the wins, because
find the wins
by Absolutely. September, it's too little too late. Some, like, we've really painted ourselves into a very tight corner by yeah. blowing late games, very winnable games. So
it's true,
you know, we should absolutely be have not concerning ourselves with the second wild card spot. We should be concerning ourselves with, are we going to win the division, or are yes. we going to have to play in the wild card game?
Which I think is where this team will be next year. I think that's just Absolutely. Going to be the natural progression of things. Totally. And as the bullpen continues to evolve, I think that's where this team is headed. Let's be serious. If this team had the bullpen they do right now, they would already be locked into that number, at least that number one wild card spot. You know, like the amount of games that this bullpen blew late in games where we're not even talking the Jays are up by one run and they blow. We're talking like they just full on blow the game. The Jays are up by 4 runs yep. going into the 8th inning and then they blow it. So, yes, there are a lot of wins that were left on the table. This is all a learning experience for this young core. We do need to keep in mind, despite the fact that everyone is so hyped on this incredibly hot Toronto Blue Jays team, that they are still a bunch of 22, 23, 24-year-olds, that they have dealt with some pretty severe injuries throughout the season. I'm not giving them any outs here, by the way. They better make this second wildcard spot. It is completely in their hands. However, if they don't, I don't think this is a scenario where we should throw the baby out with the bathwater type of idea, right? I think that this is all groundwork that's being laid for a very, very competitive window over the next 5 to 10 years. A little bit on the fun side here, I did wish to bring this up because I was curious last night after watching Teo hit his 30th bomb. Who has worn the home run jacket the most
okay.
since it has been put into this Blue Jays, how would you describe it? Their routine after hitting a home run?
Yeah, sure. Their routine. I'm sure there's a better word for it. We'll think of it for next week.
They brought it in July 29th, so I spent about an hour on FanGraph figuring out exactly who leads the team in home runs since this jacket has been implemented, who has put the jacket on the most times. So, tied for fourth, Bichette
like
and George...
We're doing a countdown. I like this.
We're doing a countdown.
Okay.
George Springer and Bo Bichette each have worn the jacket 8 times since it came into effect July 29th. In at third, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has hit 10 bombs since the jacket has been implemented. Tied for second, Teoscar Hernandez and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. have each put the jacket on 14 times each.
Wow.
And leading the way, wearing the jacket more than any other, Toronto Blue Jay Marcus Semien.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Robbie Ray. How many does Marcus Semien have?
17.
Wow.
Pretty impressive. Robbie Ray's got one jacket wear.
Yes, he does. That's pretty cool.
So, last night, a little bit of a freak accident. It was worrisome. Bringing up Lourdes here is kind of how we're transitioning into this, but deep fly ball between left and center field last night. Looked like Randall and Lourdes were on a collision course, and you know the ball was called off, and Lourdes noticed, and he dropped down to his knees and hands on the turf so that Randall could reach up over him. Randall gets to it no problem, had to kind of do some weird maneuvering to get around him on the field, and just wound up stepping on his finger. Lourdes left the game. Like, just a freak accident. And, of course, what was worrying me at the time is if you go back throughout Lourdes' career, the man gets hot. And when the man gets hot, he doesn't cool down. He's almost, you know, once he starts throttling at that high gear, he's there. But what has derailed him throughout his career is he will get injured and then he needs to start all over again. So I was just like, oh my goodness, like Lourdes has been so amazing in September. You'd hate to see his momentum derailed here. So he went and got an MRI on his finger. Everything is fine. No structural damage. His finger wasn't broken. He did need to get Randall stepped on him with his cleats, so he broke the skin. Had to get a few stitches in there. But he should be back. Probably not tonight. Maybe not tonight. I don't know. But within a day or two. And that is such good news for the Toronto Blue Jays. And such good news for Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who has truly become one of the elite hitters on this team in the last 6 weeks or so.
Silver lining, I guess, as a fan, would be that if we are going to have an injury like this, that outfield is one of our deepest spots.
One of the deepest spots, absolutely.
We just put Dickerson in left field and we roll Dickerson, Grichuk, and Teoscar until Gurriel's back?
Yeah, and I think George Springer is getting fairly close to feeling...
Man, you want to put him back in the field? That's so scary to me.
Yeah.
I just have such a hard time watching him wince as he runs to first. Because he goes so hard. I mean, I love the heart of George Springer. But it's hard to watch sometimes,
It is. He's only got one gear. The amount of times that he's rounded first base, digging for second, that I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
But no. And I know George Springer, like, this is the truth, man. He's been kind of limping around at 50 to 70% of his normal self, I would say. And that's still probably better than anyone we could put in his spot.
Yeah.
Sure would be nice to see him feel healthy. Him start to get a little bit hot.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you have anything else to add on the Blue Jays front?
No, I guess I just want to address the fact that Vladdy, while still an incredible hitter, has really fallen out of the Triple Crown race.
Yes. He just couldn't keep up for RBIs.
I feel like he hasn't hit a home run in a month. I know it's been like a week, but it just, relatively speaking, feels like ages.
Well, you're right. There was all that talk of could he possibly tie or surpass Jose Bautista, 54. Who has the high watermark for this team at 54. And I mean, now
it's unlikely he's going to get to 50.
Well, he'd need to hit four in nine. You're right.
A massive week.
Yeah.
Still, I don't know, a great season. I know we put that 50 milestone up on a pedestal as like just a really cool. It's the same with like goals in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
But if he ends up with 47 or 48 home runs, I think it's still going to go down as one of the all-time seasons by a Toronto Blue Jay. I do think it's interesting that even as he's kind of cooled off, the Vladdy MVP talks have continued to heat up, which is interesting, right? Even though
He's first in almost every category other than RBIs. I mean, right across the board, he has been dominant.
So it's just got to move him down that lineup. Got to start hitting him sixth, and we'll see those RBIs start to climb.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's one question, though, that I do have is I know the advantage of having him hit third is that he gets to hit more often, mm-hmm. right? But over the course of a season, how many more at-bats? Like, how many times does the game end after the third hitter and before the fifth hitter? Right? Because that's really the only time that it matters whether he's hitting third or fifth.
I've seen stats where it's substantial.
Have you?
In the long run.
Okay.
Because add one at-bat a game. That's 162 at-bats.
I know, but what I'm saying is that it wouldn't be one at-bat a game. It would only be one extra at-bat a game when the game happens to end where the fourth hitter is the last hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, how many times is he the last out in the ninth inning?
So let's say of the 162 possible extra at-bats, he only gets 81. It's still a lot.
Yeah, that's still a lot. I think that even half the games, I would be surprised if... Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. I can't just look it up because I don't know how you would even sort that stat out. But
yeah,
someone who is good at stats maybe can look that up. I don't know. I just look feel up like
bats and,
it might
and how
be
much...
an extra like 30 or 40 at-bats over the course of a year. Which, okay, sure, is still a lot.
Still?
But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, still substantial. All right, let's, before we wrap this up, get into the races going on around baseball, if you want to have the standings up.
Yeah.
Because the NL East, I mean, first of all, the NL East, what a shit division. My goodness. Looking at it, I'm just like, how is it possible that the Jays would be first place in this division and have already clinched? Like, not even, like, they'd already have clinched. So the Braves and the Phillies right in it though, right? Right in the thick of things.
Yeah. So Braves and Phillies, the Phillies are two games back of the Braves for the division and 4.5 games back of the second wild card. So if the Phillies want to make the playoffs, their best path is to catch the Braves.
Yeah.
That being said, have the San Diego Padres ever pulled a reverse Blue Jays, eh?
Yeah. Where are they? Are they even close to a wild? Are they still in contention at all, or have they fallen right out?
Okay, so the NL wild card right now is the Dodgers and the St. Louis Cardinals. Dodgers are in a race not for any wild card. They're 14.5 games up on St. Louis for the second spot. But the Dodgers are in a race with the Giants, and that is very close.
Mm-hmm.
So on the fringe, on the outside looking in right now is Philly. 4.5 games back, Cincinnati Reds, 5.5 games back, and then the Padres at 6 games back.
Wow, did the Cincinnati Reds ever fall right out as well, eh? Yeah. They were right there. They were the second wild card spot only, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Well, them and the Padres, it looked like, you know, up until about August was going to be a two-horse race for that second wild card spot. But St. Louis has sure come on hot. They're on a 12-game winning streak.
Really, oh, they've been incredible. The Cardinals have been on the back of Canadian boy Tyler O'Neill, have been unreal. Just to put things in perspective, too, when we talk to Stubby Clapp, so first base coach for this St. Louis Cardinals team that has been on this 12-game hot streak where they have refused to lose, they were one game above 500 when we talked to Stubby Clapp a few months back.
Wow.
So this is a team that just a very, very hot end of the season is going to wind up pushing them into a playoff spot. I mean, I think it's all but a foregone conclusion at this point. They're four games up on the next closest team. They just need to not fall on their face.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They could play 500 ball and still make the playoffs very comfortably.
Yeah.
Yeah, AL East versus NL East. The Atlanta Braves have 80 wins to lead that division right now. And like you said, the Blue Jays have 85.
Yeah.
So we would have...
The Yankees have 86.
Yeah, we would have a five-game divisional lead if we were in the NL East. But that's kind of been the AL East for four decades now. So
that's right. And it's going to be so much sweeter when they pull this off as a team in the AL East. Absolutely. I don't even wish we were in a different division, but I think it is interesting to look at other divisions and see where we would be. Even if you wish to quickly mention what's going on in the AL Central, where the Chicago White Sox just clinched top spot in their division last night, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And even they are, what, one win above? They're, what, at 86 wins?
They're 86 wins, yeah.
So even in the AL Central, the Jays would still be right there for division lead.
Yeah, we're in the toughest division in baseball. I don't think anybody would ever argue that.
Well, let's wrap it up there. Go Blue Jays. 9 games left. Boy, oh boy, that series against the Yankees is going to be unreal baseball to watch. I cannot wait. Again, we do our live stream next Tuesday. We will have our mailbag about 20 to 30 minutes before we go live stream, live with the stream there. So feel free to tune in for that. That will be live. We won't be interacting, but we will be answering your comments and your questions from YouTube, from Twitter, at Walk Off Podcast, from Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. And of course, when you stream along with us, feel free to be as interactive as you would like in the chat. We do have our regulars that are always there, ball busting and talking baseball and all that good stuff. We do really appreciate the Walk Off community. Go Blue Jays. We will talk to you Tuesday. Anything to add there, Adam?
Go Blue Jays.
All right. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Chose to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.